Hi there, and welcome once again as we study God's Word together. My name is Caleb Ray, and I preach for the Rock Church of Christ that meets just outside of Charlotte. We are currently unable to meet in our building due to the rising number of COVID cases, although we do plan to meet again next Sunday on January the 17th at 9:30 for 1 hour of worship. While we are unable to be together physically, we are glad that you are joining us virtually as we study God's Word together for a few moments today. I want to take a moment to talk about the idea of living by faith. You know, especially in today's society with all that's going on, it seems as if we are trusting in faith more, or at least I hope that's the case for many of us. With so much going on around us, we need something to believe in, something to focus on, and so we find ourselves trusting and faithing, hope, trusting and believing and practicing our faith hopefully more. But what does it really mean in the idea of living by faith? You know, when we talk about this phrase, it's found multiple times in the Bible. Just a few to point out, Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, no one is justified in the sight of God, or by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Living by faith can be very simply defined as living as God directed. Now, unfortunately, we live in a society today where it seems like we live by the phrase, no one told me I can't do it, and therefore I can. There is danger, my friends, in that type of attitude. You know, we often want to push limits and say, well, they didn't say I couldn't do it. They didn't say that I shouldn't do it, so maybe I will. You know, how do we react with children when they do something we don't want them to do? And they come up to us and they say, well, you didn't tell me I couldn't do it. I don't know about you, but for me, it doesn't help the child any, and I know as a child, it didn't help me any to say that. You know, we expect children to understand when we tell them what to do and what not to do, that there are things implied that go along with that. Well, I expected you to know better. I expected you to know that was not allowed. I expected you to know what you should be doing. And so we set expectations on children and yet forget about them ourselves. We find ourselves pushing limits and pushing situations because we simply can say, no one told me that I couldn't do it. And so, my friends, we find ourselves in danger. You know, I think of a story of a person coming to a big pond. And the gentleman told him, now, young man, don't go swimming in that pond. It's too cold and you'll get very sick. And so the man went off and the little boy said, well, he told me that I couldn't swim, but he didn't say that I couldn't dive. And, well, he told me that I couldn't swim, but he didn't say that I couldn't just stick my feet in the waters and wade in the water. Folks, I think all of us would agree that if someone told us not to go swimming, that would imply not to enter the water at all. And so what happens then if we were to, well, go diving, but we didn't go swimming? You still probably will get sick. You still are in danger if there's some issue with the water. And so it's not very bright. And it's not very wise of us to do things simply because we weren't told that we couldn't do it. And so I want to look at this lesson in a few different aspects. I want to consider what living by faith really is, living as God directed, and then apply it to our lives. I think we need to start off with something very simple, looking at Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I think we all can understand that in order to have faith, we have to know what we're believing in. You know, how would it look if we said, oh, I believe in da, da, da. And when questioned about it, we have no earthly idea what that even is. We would look foolish, ignorant. We would have our influence tainted. And so we have to understand and know what we're really believing in. We can't just believe in something because someone else tells us either. We have to know it and understand it. And so when we look at this simple verse of Paul's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see that we get our faith by reading what God has given us, by reading what God has left us, and making determinations then based on that. It can also be used as a commentary in what it means to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The word of God teaches us how to live and therefore how to walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we have God teaching us through his word. His word reveals what is wrong with the idea of just because it doesn't say, I can't. What type of society would we live in if everybody lived the way of, well, no one told me I couldn't? It would be chaotic. It would not be a fun place to live. There would be danger, and society would crumble. My friends, we cannot simply use silence as proof of how we should live, whether in life, in Christian life, in government. We cannot use silence as an authority on what to do. If there is no word about it, then there can be no faith about it. And we see this idea of living by faith illustrated in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, as many have called it, the Hall of Faith, looking at all these different individuals who walked the earth before and lived by faith, we find several different situations in which individuals acted by faith. Think of Noah in building the ark. Up until the point of Noah, we have no record of rain in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Genesis, it talks about water coming up out of the ground and irrigating the food, the crop. That's what we see in the Garden of Eden as how the plants are nourished and treated. And so we have no record of rain, and yet God comes to Noah and says, I want you to build a boat. And not just a boat, but a boat this big to be filled with this many animals, and you and your family, because I am going to wipe out the world with rain. Do you know what Noah did? He got to work. I am very inquisitive. I don't know that if it hadn't been me that I couldn't have said, what's rain? And you're going to destroy everybody with it? With some water? Okay. Noah simply acted because he believed in God and had faith in him and his will. Abraham left his home and traveled to a foreign land, traveled to the land of Canaan, a land that he did not know because God told him to. Abraham offered his only son, or not his only son, excuse me, his promised son, Isaac. Now, Abraham has prayed for this child. Here the child has come. God tells him to give him up. And Abraham does it willingly because he is faithful to God and his faith causes him to act. Think of the walls of Jericho. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been up on top of the wall, looking down at this group of people circling the city and blowing their horns, I'd be thinking, who in the world are these idiots? You're going to attack a city, you do it in a surprise. Here they are making noise. They're walking, and they're walking around the city wall. They're not doing anything to the city wall. Why? Because these people had faith that God would deliver. And so you see these situations as definitions of living by faith, of living it out in their life. And so it brings us to the conclusion that if God has specified something, everything else has been excluded. You know, in the situation of the walls of Jericho, maybe we decided to help speed up the process a little bit. So we're going to do our walks around. What we're going to do is we're going to walk real close to the wall. And as we go, we're going to try to make dents in the wall. We're going to beat it, and we're going to beat it, and we're going to make indentures so that the walls will fall thicker. Maybe Noah said, okay, God, I'll build the ark with gopher wood, and I'll put it in a few places, but I think oak is a better wood, so I'm going to put it over here and over there, Lord. And Abraham, when he was told to offer his son, said, okay, Lord, I'll take Isaac to be offered, but I think I'll do Ishmael too. Or I'll do Ishmael instead, because he wasn't the promised son. He wasn't told not to. Noah wasn't told that he couldn't use walnut or oak in another part of the ark. The people that walked around Jericho weren't told they couldn't touch the wall. But it's pretty clear God told them exactly what to do, and that was all they were authorized to do. You know, God said, preach the word, preach the gospel. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. In Matthew 28, Mark 16, as you have this commission that Christ has given, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It would be then inappropriate for us to teach another philosophy or another literature or another word. We have been authorized to teach only the will of God. And so I want to look for our last moments at three ways in which we can live by faith. First and foremost, we need to live by faith in what we say. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Think about that. We are to talk as God has spoken. Contrast that with the ideas of God doesn't say we can't. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible's silent about that. Well, you know, if we're speaking as God has spoken and God is silent on a situation, we too should be silent. We too should not teach our opinion as doctrine or as law. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says Christ, and he is the head of the body, that is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul talks about there is one body, one spirit, and one hope of our calling or your calling. My friends, so many believe that we can be completely opposite. You and I can have completely different opinions and everything be okay. How does that reconcile with us being one body, especially when Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, that all speak the same thing, being of the same mind? We have to be united under God's plan, and that only comes by us following God's will. As we consider man's teachings in contrast to the teachings of the Bible, I want us to consider a question that Jesus posed to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 21, verse 25. He was asked by what authority he did those things. He said, I will tell you by what authority if you tell me this. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? Now, Christ is asking a question here to get the Pharisees and scribes to answer him, because if they say that it's of men, then the people will be upset because John was well revered by the people. And if they say it's of heaven, then he's caught them because they would not listen to him. And so as we look at anything we're taught or told from those around us, we need to ask the question, is what we're being taught from heaven or from men? If it's from men, it's matters of opinion. If it's found in scripture, we have a leg to stand on. You know, secondly, we need to live by faith in what we do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Doing something in the name of Christ means that we do it by his authority. We are using what he has given us. What can we do in the name of the Lord and have it be honored by God? Can it be things that are not said? Can it be things that the Lord never taught? Can it be things in which the Bible is silent? If something is said to be done in the name of the Lord, and it has not been spoken by the Lord, then we are being very presumptuous in what God would have us do. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Folks, what it comes down to is we are not permitted to do anything beyond what is written by God and available to us as scripture and call it the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up and on behalf of one another. The American Standard says that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written. And something similar is said in the English Standard, the New International Standard, the Revised Version, the New Revised Standard, and the New American Standard. Several of the newer translations that attempt to be more literal to the actual text use the idea of that we might learn not to go beyond what is written. There is danger in adding to the will of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. My friends, we cannot do what is forbidden. I think we all agree on that. If it tells us not to do something, we know not to do it. But on the same page, we cannot live outside of how God's directed. It is not up to us to make decisions on what God meant. It is not up to us to make decisions on what God would be okay with and what he would not be okay with. We simply have his will and are to follow it. I said we have 3 points. I made a mistake. We have the 2 points. We need to live by faith in what we say and in what we do. And really that sums it all up. We need to understand that if we are living a life as God directed, we are living it in accordance with his will and his word. I hope that all of us can say that we're living by faith. And I hope none of us would say, well, God didn't say not to. And I know that's a confusing sentence that I've said many times through this video. My friends, we need to live by faith, recognizing that it comes from God's word, and that it should, that we should then do that as we talk and as we act. We are in a time today that is ruled by emotions and opinions, and whatever you want goes. That is not how God intended it to be. And that is not how we as his children are to act. If we can live by faith, then we will eliminate division, because there is one faith, and that's what God has given us. And so, my friends, as we work and as we live and as we study, let's ask ourselves, is what we're doing of man or of heaven? And once we find that answer, we need to then determine how we're going to live by faith. Thank you for joining me on this short study on the idea of living by faith. Hope it's been profitable to you. For our members at Rock, I pray that you will continue to remember all those who are struggling with the virus. We have had several make a good recovery. We have several who are greatly improved, but they still need our prayers as they deal with fatigue and as they deal with the issues that come with this disease. And so I hope that you will be in prayer for them, and I hope that you stay healthy and well, and Lord willing, we'll get to see each other next Sunday. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you're blessed. Have a good day.